Dear listeners, this podcast is created by the Linguistov team.
If you want to practice and improve your English in a fun and creative way, please visit our website www.linguistov.ru.
And if you want to share your opinion and ideas regarding our discussions, you can email us at info@linguistov.ru.
Yes.
I haven't heard from you for a long time.
It's been a long time.
About 60 minutes.
By the way, is it being recorded?
Okay, hang on, I will check.
You'd better.
Yes, the figures are moving and we are rolling. Okay, so how are you, Daniel?
Well, I wasn't sleeping, as you presumed, but the food was so delicious that it was like in a dream.
I guess me and Asya, we already said everything to each other.
Yeah.
But it was a great day.
Yeah, she had her hookah. So that's why her day was great.
I don't really need anything else. It's just the company of you two and a hooker. And actually, I think that it proves the point that you don't need that much for happiness.
Exactly. As long as you have a hooker.
Exactly. So I'm very looking forward to August when we will finally, experience it again. So we will have a hooker in at Asya's place and, Daniel will be in charge.
Yeah, by the way, the hooker was not as great as Daniel's.
Exactly. That's my point.
So you should call yourself an experienced hookist.
Hookist, yes.
Yeah.
Hookishan.
Yeah, hookishan. Hookta.
So. Oh, you must be flattering me.
No, it's true.
No, we aren't. We have already tried another one, and we agreed that it was not so good.
Mm. What was the flavor of the tobacco?
Guess it was some mixture of fruits, kiwi, grape, and maybe something else.
Well, for me, it tasted like a gum.
Yeah. Gum flavor.
I did like it, but
it was okay, but not okay. As any else.
No. I think nothing compares to
nothing
it.
Nothing compares, yeah.
It was another flavor. It isn't about the mastery.
Not so sure about it.
No, we disagree.
Yes. We want to flatter your hooking skills.
Well, it's not flattery, it's the truth.
Right. Yeah. We want to compliment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Are you still high?
No, unfortunately not. I already told that multiple times. We have to move on. We have to try something different. I am ready, as always.
I'm ready.
You will be sentenced to punishment, if anything.
Well, it's okay. I think it's worth it. Actually, I told Asa, since she is in the British colony right now, we probably have to go to a bar or a pub.
And where real bearded men are.
Yeah. It will be...
They shout and make a lot of noise and they smell like...
Oh, cool. Pub.
Beards or men?
Both.
Yeah, but I think it would be nice. It would be like another first experience for me.
Well... As long as you want.
What are you going to drink, I wonder?
Green tea.
At a pub.
Well, you see, it's not about alcohol. It's about experiencing the atmosphere. She can get high simply smelling those men and their beards. Just kidding, Landish. But actually, the question remains unanswered. What are you going to drink there?
I don't know. Beer?
Okay.
Oh my
then
God.
I'm totally for it. I'm so curious to see you drunk.
No. Okay. As I told you, I drank beer when I was still at school. It was only one time experience.
Okay. We will definitely go to a pub then. You persuaded me.
Just for you to...
Just for me to see how cute you can be. I don't think you need much alcohol to get drunk. Just a little bit, yeah?
Came here, and the first thing that I had to resume doing is to care for cats, you know, stray cats.
Oh.
It is going to be a guide to my mother's crazy head.
Did you say straight cats? Like there are gay cats?
Not
and...
No.
And you care about straight cats. You don't care about gay cats.
No, I don't care about gay cats. Well, I do care about it, as long as they do not get married.
Gay cats have iridescent hind.
So, no, it's not straight cats, it's stray cats, like in homeless, you know.
Ah, okay, good. Yeah.
Alley cats.
Alley cats, yes. Yeah, alright. Because my mother, she's crazy about her cats, and sometimes I worry about her. I already told that. We have a cat and like four kittens who live somewhere in the cellar in our house. And as we live on the seventh floor, these kittens, they are on the first floor, and they live outside, so not in the house itself. And my mother usually puts some food for them. It happens so that she puts food not under the windows of people who live on the first floor, but very close to it. So once these people who live on the first floor, they complain to my mother that the food smells, although I don't really understand how they... can smell, because there is a garbage, you know, disposal very close to them. So I don't think that it is the food they smell, rather the smell of the garbage. It is, you know, my mother. Sometimes I flatter myself saying that I'm very much like my mother, but at the same time, sometimes I worry and I don't really want to be like her. So she actually started not throwing the garbage in this. You know, in the how do you call it, that thing, pipe type of thing, which gets your garbage on the first floor. So anyway, she takes our garbage directly on the first floor.
Oh.
Right now, and puts it below the windows of those people. So she's very spiteful. Yeah.
Well, I have two stories to tell too. The 1st of July, 2 days ago, I was almost persuaded to go to serve in the army. Yes, I was at the draft committee.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and they were trying very hard to get me to leave my hopes of future education and go to the army. And they offered me, you know, very, well, prestigious place, reconnaissance. It is quite serious, and they were planning to send me there because I know English. But, I managed to persuade them otherwise, and they seem to have given me the chance. Now I hope that when I'm finished with my master's degree, I will be able to go to reconnaissance troops again. Because this prospect excites me, because it's 1 year of everyday practice of the English language. Well, as they told me, I don't know how exactly matters are.
Is this going to be like a secret service type of thing, or will you be able to report
to
us?
They told me I would have to pass a test with Federal Security Service.
Oh goodness. So serious.
How did they come to know that you speak good English?
Oh, I told them that I do.
Okay.
I pledged them to give me something where my English wouldn't go into despair.
That's better than you know, regular army, regular service there, where they usually, you know, like a cheap workforce.
And it's more romantic.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. I just, the only thing that worries me is that whether you will be able to report to us about the things that you hear.
We shall see.
Or you can keep a diary.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll make a separate page on our website.
And then I will be like Edward Snowden.
Oh, yeah.
of which I will be speaking today. But before I start, there is another piece of news from my private life. Well, today I was informed by my mother that... my poem that I had written a few months ago, well, it was ranked first place somewhere. Oh, the thing is that in February my mother told me that there was a 95th anniversary of the financial service of the Ministry of Interior. My mother's husband had once been a colonel of the Ministry of Interior. So I was asked to compose a poem about the financial service. Well, that I did. They sent the poem, and now I got to know that it was ranked first place republic-wide, and then it was sent to Moscow, and it took first place nationwide.
Wow, congratulations.
That's fantastic news, yeah. It was probably a tough topic to write a poem on.
That's what I thought.
Yes. Not very romantic.
A patriotic type of a poem.
Or something like that. And it made me think that February was the golden age of my artistry. In February I wrote The Mysterious Messages, and in February I wrote that poem. Well, and it makes me sad because, well, if the golden age is past...
I think it is the beginning of the golden age.
Exactly.
Well, it may be.
Age, remember, it's not golden month.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's the whole age.
I so hope.
Okay, let's move on to introduction.
15 minutes later.
Not in poems, unfortunately, but someday I might compose that. In my imagination, she is associated with a tree. She seems to be feeding on sunlight and water, and her fruits are colorful and cute drawings. She's Landush. Who can ride a bicycle, walk a dog, and be soaking under rain at the same time? Our multifunctional asset.
Oh, you remember that.
Breathing in smoke and breathing out ideas, he's the most frequent hookahist of the bunch. Daniel?
Yeah, not for long. Okay.
Latin America is emerging from under the shadow of the United States. Ecuador, Bolivia, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Peru, and others are no longer afraid of Washington's retaliation to their independent decisions. The case of Edward Snowden clearly demonstrates that. You're likely to know the man if you have been following the news, or, as I have, the titles of the news. Edward Snowden of the USA was charged with treason for the revelation of state secret. This secret is that National Security Agency, a special governmental service in the United States, has been spying on American citizens for 4 years and will continue with it unless something is done about it. Edward Snowden decided he should be the one to make the first step. As a result, he is sentenced to 30 years of prison and is forced to seek political asylum. Fortunately for him, a number of countries heard his call, so he has only to choose one of them. As of now, he resides in the transit zone of the Sheremetyevo Airport in Moscow. The United States demands extradition, but Russia refuses to give the man away because there is no such an agreement between the two world powers. Edward Snowden isn't planning to stay in Russia. He's waiting for a flight to Cuba, where from he will fly either to some of the newly independent countries. By the way, Ecuador has already granted political asylum to another scandalous person, the founder of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange. It would be curious if two remarkable persons famous for their struggle against the informational hegemony of the USA met together at some white-hot Latin America beach.
I think that if he just revealed information that the government spied on the American citizens, he would be considered, you know, a hero. But they actually spied also on, like, representatives of other countries, you know, telephone calls of people, you know, like state people from other countries who were in the United States. So that's what made him, you know, this traitor of the state, as I understand it.
Well, to charge a man with something, you of course have to see that he's not perceived as a national hero. Mm-hmm. But if it is right, what you're saying, the United States failed, because he is actually perceived as one.
You read that most of the citizens of the United States think that it is fine that the government spies on them. Well, as the government puts it, it is to prevent, you know, acts of terrorism and, you know, things like that.
Acts of terrorism should be and can be prevailed by special services. Mm-hmm. And as I read, only 40-some% of the United States citizens, they see this surveillance as a needful resource.
Mm-hmm. Alright.
Because as I read, the terroristic attack in Boston, Russia actually knew about it, and it warned United States about it, but Obama didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the points of view. It is not soundproof.
We had this English club about the topic of privacy, and I did ask this question whether, you know, people are fine with the government spying on them if it is made, you know, for the sake of their security, because you know this quote by Thomas Jefferson that the price of eternal freedom, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance, something like that. All of them said that they are fine with it. It's okay if the government, you know, reads their emails, listens to their phone calls, as long as it is made for the sake of their security.
Oh, it is also no.
I'm not fine with this.
I agree. I'm not fine with it.
My personal life, mm-hmm. To remain personal. And I think that it breaks the all moral aspects if they can trespass into this personal territory. Don't like this idea at all.
Now, it is known that Vladimir Putin has offered Edward Snowden political asylum, but there was one condition on which the asylum can be granted. This condition is that Edward Snowden should cease to do any harm to the United States with his revelations, and Edward Snowden refused. Mm-hmm. Well, officially, this may mark that Russia doesn't want to mess with the United States, but there is an opinion that this condition means that Vladimir Putin himself doesn't want the secrets of Federal Security Service be revealed.
Oh, yeah.
We may be under vigilance too. Yeah. Oh, this very conversation is perhaps
say hello
being
to the
recorded.
Government.
Oh, hello.
I doubt anyone listens to it. I doubt we don't really have, you know, listeners.
They have the means to listen to conversations through Skype, but I don't know what conversations are listened to.
But, well, if we talk about this privacy trespassing, what do you guys think? Well, we all know that if needed, they do have access to the profiles of all users in social networks. But is it acceptable? What do you think? Or should they remain private? What did the people on English Club say about it?
Well, they didn't care, actually. They said, well, we have families, we have children, we have, you know, husbands and wives. We want to, you know, to feel secure in our own country. And if it takes this recording and listening of our conversations and reading our emails, it's okay. But I'm actually absolutely against it because, you know, it can start like that. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But it has so many, you know, it can lead to many different things like...
Bribery, intimidation.
Exactly, exactly. And it always reminds me like of the Stalin era.
Yeah,
you know, we have a prospect of like Putin rising to become, you know, a horrible dictator like Stalin. And once you, maybe it will be in the future, like you say something against him and then you will hear, you know, KGB knocking on your door.
That's
and
right.
It can get to some, you know, some other places.
Let's not forget that in the era of Stalin, there was no internet and there were no technologies.
But, you know, they had this spies, you know, people told police or militia, yeah, about their neighbors, that they were against the government. It was quite the same thing, you know, they still had the means to find out.
No, it doesn't work the way it did then. Everything has grown more subtle.
Besides, you have freedom of speech, yeah? You can say whatever you want. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, the way they do it, or at least that's what I heard, that if you, for example, mention words like, you know, terrorism or bomb or whatever, so that's how they spy on you, yeah?
So from this moment on, we are being listened.
Yeah. But what? I have a freedom of speech. I want to talk about terrorism. I will talk about terrorism.
Well, let's call it a chair.
A chair?
Instead of
a chair.
Let's just call it a chair.
Besides, if you're going to plan an act of terrorism, aren't you going to...
An act of chair.
An act of chair. Okay, all right. An act of chair. Aren't you going to be, you know, more discreet about it?
Act of charity.
What's the point of listening to the conversations and reading emails if they're going to invoke...
It's pretty much the same when you are filling out this questionnaire when you apply for a visa and there are these questions like, have you ever done anything illegal in the United States? Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
I've been shoplifting. I've been doing a lot of other illegal activities. Yes, and I'm going to mention all of them. What is the question? I've never understood that, actually.
I feel like everything is more subtle than we think. It is very hard to judge without going into details and without submerging into this area. I was taught that, in fact, everything is absolutely not as we think about it, as we imagine it.
All right, I have a tremendous piece of news. It's not news, it's just facts. Not very interesting, maybe. But okay, in the animal world, zombies are a fact of life. For example, there are some species that bend other creatures to their will to keep their bizarre life cycles going, or just to feast on their delicious brains. For example...
I like that.
For example, zombie ants. There are special kinds of zombifying fungi that infect ants. The fungus grows into the ant's brain, compels it to climb down and clamp in, onto the low leaves that provide the fungus with its favorite breeding ground. And after the ant dies, the fungus sprouts from its head and shoots out spores to infect other ants. There is also a zombie caterpillar. There is a species of virus that infects certain caterpillars and sends them up into the treetops to die. When the caterpillar's body liquefies, the ooze drips down onto other caterpillars, creating more zombies. There is also a zombie ladybug, a certain species of parasitic, how do you call it? How do you pronounce it? Parasitic. All right, wasp lays a single egg inside an abdomen of a ladybug.
Oh, my.
Yeah, the wasp larva eats its way through the ladybug's insides, then pops out and...
Pokes out the eyes.
Oh,
So it's like in the ladybug shell, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And then it spins a cocoon. Then the ladybug often lives on as one of the undead, partially paralyzed on top of the cocoon. So it's still alive. And then there are zombie rats. The most insidious zombie of the animal world may well be the tiny parasite called Toxoplasma gondii, or Toxo for short. This parasite can produce can reproduce only in cat intestines. Intestines? Is it do I pronounce it well? Okay. When mice or rats nibble on the poop, they also gobble up some of the toxoparasites. The parasite migrate to the brain, where they release chemicals that make the rodents lower their guard when they're around cats. The cats eat the smitten rats, and the toxo life cycle begins again. But the scary part is that toxo can find its way to the human nervous system as well. About 30% of the world's population is thought to be infected. There is also some evidence of a connection between toxo and changes in mood or personality, and perhaps even conditions such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. That's it.
Oh, I watched a TV series, The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. about zombies, and the idea in this TV show was quite similar mm-hmm. to that in your piece of news, that all the people, they were infected from the very beginning, mm-hmm. and it was no difference whether you're bit by an already affected person or by a living person, you turn into a zombie after you after you die, even if you die naturally.
What's the name of this film with Brad Pitt?
The War Z.
Yeah.
The War Z.
Yeah, I think it's out in the United States, yeah, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. It's
out in Russia.
Really. Yeah, actually.
Oh, really?
It is, yeah.
Okay. There's fast zombies, yeah? Not those...
They're not zombies, they are the infected. In fact, zombies, they are the creatures of magic. Originally, zombies were people who were enchanted by voodooists to obey their will. The living dead were called zombies only after the film of a director, Romero, The Evil Dead. There is a certain misinterpretation, and the modern TV and cinema industry, they are evading this misinterpretation. The theme of infection is nowadays more popular than the theme of that of zombies.
If you remember, I told you about that book about vampires. It was also like... they became vampires because it was an infection. It was not because... the bite. Of course, there was a bite, but it was those type of swollen worms mm-hmm. type of thing. So it was an infection as well. Some kind of modern trend of infection.
Yes. It is a modern trend to try to explain some unnatural situations by natural means.
I think I'm slowly moving from zombies to vampires.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just somewhere in between right now. I still can't decide, but...
what do you like about vampires?
That they are actually alive.
Oh.
Oh, well, they're not. Vampires not alive.
They are. Well,
no, they're not.
Zombies are dead.
And vampires are dead too, and they walk and think and talk only thanks to evil, ancient, dark magic. Mm. And they cannot do any of these things without human blood.
Well, I know, but they still have their personality, right? Whereas zombies...
their bodies are not alive.
But they do have a personality.
Well, it's it can be argued.
I'm not a vampirologist.
I'm not too,
that's why I don't want to. I'm not ready for your arguments.
it's not an argument.
I will get prepared, but right now I am a bit. I'm quite attracted to vampires. So somewhere in between.
according to one of the interpretations, vampires are demons who have sold their souls, so they cannot be considered living, neither mentally nor physically.
So what do they have left then, if not body or soul? Then what does what? How is it called? The thing that functions.
Some evil will, some demonic will.
Okay. Let me get prepared for the future discussion on vampires. I liked that idea with a ladybug.
Popping your eyes out.
Popping your eyes out of a ladybug, yeah. I think we can actually do it in real life. Like, we can get inside a whale.
Uh-huh. And pop its eyes out.
Eat the whale from the inside. Uh-huh. And pop the eyes out.
That's so cruel.
And then just swim in the ocean and pretend that you are a whale. I'm talking such rubbish.
Yeah.
But I'm just imagining it.
You have to have certain, maybe a certain substance to bend its will. Booze.
Oh yeah, and ladybug is has this harsh shell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to somehow create a similar effect.
It has quite a large mouth. We will probably fit in very well. Yeah. So yeah, we have to think about it.
Maybe that would be too cool. We can create an artificial whale.
Oh, yes, that would be better.
With the case of an artificial whale, we will not have to eat that much.
We have to, you know, get a large amount of fruit inside and vegetables. Yeah. Then I'll be...
Are you ever going to stop it?
She doesn't seem to be enjoying this. Well, okay. By the way, yeah. I am in Naberezhny Chelny.
I think everyone already got that.
The trip was good.
Oh yeah, we didn't even ask you.
Yes, it was very fast and very comfortable. Me and Lola being on the back seat. Enjoying a book and air conditioner. And it was very fast. I didn't even get tired and I didn't even realize how fast I achieved my destination. So yeah, I was quite warmly welcomed by my family and taken to Dacia the following day. So fast that I couldn't even say no. I didn't even have time to think it over and say no. So yeah, I'm in Naberezhny Chelny. Going back on the 10th of July. Just sharing some private life of mine.
Beardology. Fidel Castro facts. First, Fidel Castro. Is it Fidel? Fidel Castro? Something's wrong with my pronunciation today. So, Fidel Castro has survived over 634 assassination attempts, most of which were masterminded by the CIA. And fact number two, he has a fucking awesome beard. There were car bombs, poisonous cigars, poisoned pills, exploding mollusks, chemically tainted scuba diving wetsuits, snipers, exploding cigars, and anything imaginable that could kill a man. But all the attempts failed. Castro lived, and now the CIA was like, what is with this guy? That's when the answer dawned on them. It must be the beard. The CIA, believing Castro's beard, possessed some sort of superpower that made him immortal. What's going on?
Are you pretending to be a zombie and ripping something apart?
What's going on? Are you eating something or what?
Who is making this noise?
I don't know.
We thought you are.
I thought that Asya was doing that.
Why would I make this noise? No. Is it this noise that you are hearing right now?
Repeat it.
I can't repeat it. It's Lola. class
yes,
the floor.
Yes, yes, that's
okay, then that was Lola.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think you could hear it. I was not eating anything.
It sounded like a candy, like, you know, you're unwrapping of a candy.
Oh, no, that was Lola's claws.
Our fourth participant, yeah?
Yeah.
She has to sometimes join us. You said that she speaks English.
She understands English, but she doesn't speak any language, even doggish. She doesn't even bark.
Not even Morse code.
That's the best thing about Lola. She produces no noise at all.
She just listens.
With her vocal cords, yeah. She just listens and she understands.
Where is August, by the way?
August is sleeping somewhere. Again, I cut his hair a little bit today to make it look prettier. Well, it doesn't really look pretty, but at least it doesn't stick out at the wrong places. But he's somewhere hiding from me. I forgot what I was reading. So anyway, all the attempts failed, yeah? And CIA was like, what is with this guy? And then they finally realized that it was the beard. The CIA, believing Castro's beard possessed some sort of superpower that made him immortal, made their next plan of action to destroy it. Believe it or not, this actually happened. Well, the destroying part. I'm not 100% sure that they thought it made him immortal. Other reasons could be that it was intimidating or that it made him look awesome. Anyway, they gave him a box of cigars treated with a chemical that was supposed to make his beard fall off. But it didn't work, and then they gave up, end of story. So this actually happened. They wanted to make his beard, you know, fall out, to make him look probably less intimidating.
The Adventures of a Bearded Man in a Beardless World, Part 3.
Yeah, finally!
The helicopter came in the black of night. Richard Barbage, a prisoner of mass media in the golden cage of the penthouse, was incredibly glad to hear the cutting sounds of blades and see the bright shafts of light. The glass of the apartment was broken by a man clinging to a rope. "I am a government agent," he said. "Come, Mr. Barbage, we will walk with you." Richard Barbage came, and the rope was lifted the same moment security guards rushed into his former accommodation. Their curses were music to his ears. However, it soon revealed that the government agent had lied to our hero. The government didn't work with him, it worked on him, on his unique beard in particular. Richard Barbage was immobilized, and the torture began. There was no pain, but it was torment to watch what agents in black were doing with his precious beard. They pulled at it, tore it. But what a miracle, the beard was unharmed. Richard Barbage was no less amazed than his executioners were. They applied harsher methods, tried to set the beard ablaze, to electrocute it, to chemically annihilate it, all in vain. At long last, Richard Barbage cried out, "Why me? Rather, why my beard?" "Your beard is too similar to that of Fidel Castro," the government major said angrily. "The underground movement can make of you their symbol and idol." "What underground movement?" Richard Barbage wondered. This very second, the wall behind him exploded. There was some shooting, and the government agents fell on the floor. Richard Barbage was released by someone and upstarted. The young man before him reached his hand and said, "Welcome to underground movement, who if not us," said the man solemnly. "My name is Edward Snowden. Pleased to meet you, Mr. Barbage."
That's an unexpected twist to the story.
Yes.
I can't wait to the, you know,
yes.
to hear the rest of the story.
Oh, is that it for today? We burst out laughing, so I interrupted the
yes, sorry
flow, and actually it was the end for today.
So. Okay, just have to wait and live our miserable lives till next Wednesday to hear the rest of the story.
Yes. So, What do we have to tell our listeners?
Don't know. It's your responsibility.
So. Your responsibility.
You don't talk to me like that.
You don't talk to me the way.
We have a lot of activity going on in our website, so you can visit it. It's www.linguistov.ru. We are having a number of interviews. We are working on a number of interviews right now, and very soon we'll start posting them. So stay tuned. You'll see a lot of interesting conversations with very interesting people. Mm-hmm. We have a musician.
Sand artist.
Yeah, and we have an illustrator and a linguist of co-founder. We have another linguist of co-founder who doesn't know yet which artistic field she belongs to. And we are also planning to publish two more interviews with a Mexican photographer and an American lawyer. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be pretty interesting. Stay tuned. A lot of articles, a lot of other useful sources for those of you who are studying English. And, of course, we are very open to your ideas, comments, and orders of trial lessons.
When will we finally have the section of our listeners' emails?
When I guess when we have them on a regular basis.
Please. Well, at least some emails.
Yes, once we start getting emails with questions or suggestions, then well, we'll definitely start reading them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Questions about our private lives.
It doesn't matter, as long as there are some questions.
Right. Maybe we already have fans who are in love with Daniil or Landish. We don't really care about that, as long as there are fans.
Yeah.
Or in love with beards.
In love with the beards.
Yep. Yeah. All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Yeah. I've talked to you. I hope I will talk to you sooner.
Yeah, well, I think you'll drink with me sooner. Okay.
Lots of books and discussions at www.linguistov.ru.
There once was a man from Nantucket who said he was born in a bucket.